This is Mouth Media Network, covering the business of lifestyle.
Here are three things many companies must pay attention to. And they are, of course, reducing waste, maximizing sustainability, and increasing profit margins. With a new kind of analytics, companies can now make use of insights which create a more direct path to products that are likely to be the most successful. Minimize samples and reduce the resources and materials needed to end up with the right product investments, pricing, and marketing decisions. Coming up, you'll hear from a company which looks ahead instead of leveraging historical data, as well as take a look at the value of all physical produced items, the digitization of the product supply chain, three decision points people make, and exploring cultures through food and shopping. All of this on location with host Natalia Makalova at Remode Conference in Los Angeles.
You're listening to Fashion is Your Business, powered by Sennheiser and recorded on location.
Welcome to Fashion is Your Business podcast, and I'm Natalia Makulova, and I'm at the fashion conference called Remode, that stands for Sustainability and Fashion Tech, and my company Balanced Fashion stands just for that. It's fashion technology and sustainability, so it's exciting times to be here, and I'm today here with Greg Petro, the CEO and founder of First Insight. So Greg, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me about yourself. Uncover what First Insight means and what it is for you and why did you start it?
Yeah, so excited to be here to talk about how companies are engaging in technology. It's from our perspective, the passion comes from how can companies, retailers, and brands shorten the distance between themselves and consumers, utilizing technology to better understand what consumers want and how they can serve them. And in that way of doing it in a very authentic engagement, it'll allow companies to reduce waste in bad decisions that they're making. So sure. We're excited about Remode and the concept of how can we help companies improve their decision-making that way.
Right. Interesting. So can you unfold that a little bit? So what kind of tech solution it is? I'm understanding it is a platform. Mm-hmm. And what do you offer to the customers at the moment?
So First Insight founded the space 12 years ago of voice of the customer
right. And
predictive analytics. And since that period of time, you know, we basically have come to be known as the company that does digital product testing for new products.
Right.
How can you bring products to market? How can we find out what consumers want before we have to manufacture them and make all those commitments? Over that period of 12 years now, we've evolved into the world's largest customer-centric merchandising platform. Mm-hmm. And so the essence of what we do is we help retailers and brands understand which products to bring to market through product selection in our platform, how to price it.
Right.
How consumers are going to respond to different pricings, strategies, and then planning, how much to make, how much are consumers actually going to consume, and the last is who to target, where to position the product, who wants it, what is the profile of those types of individuals.
Interesting. My background is actually in analytics and planning, merch planning, and very familiar with that topic in a way that how old school it is in a way in some brands or at some bigger companies, and Excel spreadsheets are still something that we do all the time.
Yeah.
It's interesting to know that there are a lot of technologies out there that are tapping into this solutions for the analytics. Can you say a little bit how you are different from others?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, outside of the fact that, we've been doing this for 12 years.
Right.
And
it's
working
a
with
deal.
Yeah, it is, and we're now working with more than 100 customers worldwide. Mm-hmm. So we're in 30 countries, 20 plus languages, 15 currencies. Mm-hmm. But the essence of what we do is we actually structure data, you know, most companies that do predictive analytics or some level of forecasting and planning are leveraging history to make decisions about how to it's going to look going forward. And it's just great if the environment doesn't change and the product doesn't change.
Of course. Customer doesn't change.
Yeah, and the customer, exactly. So if, it, which we all know, all of those are constantly in change. Yeah. And so what we do is we actually structure data from consumers and then help them through a very specific, rich group of modeling, which products are going to rise to the top.
Right.
And quickly decide how to, you know, cull down that assortment as opposed to bring it to market. But I think the essence of what we do that's different is we structure data and we leverage some history, but the reality is it's really new data.
Yeah.
And two is, you know, we've learned a lot over that period of time about actually how to do that modeling.
Totally. It seems like I kind of hear Zara coming to my head right now, because I believe why they're so strong is what they're doing. They're not really looking back so much. They're looking at what's going on at the moment and testing.
Yeah, that's a great analogy.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, because, so you know, we studied them way back in, I think it was 2000.
Right.
Right? Where they had an approach to their business model, and still do today, where they are basically listening to the consumer at the end point and then feeding that information quickly back to the design teams, right? And I would say our approach is really very similar in some ways to that, right? Looking at how the products can change, but in the same speed level, 24 hours, being able to test products and iterative designs and then determine how the consumer is going to respond so that you can go execute, as opposed to a supply chain that takes 9 months.
Totally.
You can take months out of, or weeks out of that cycles.
Right. It's the future.
It is the future. Well, yeah, one would hope that soon.
I wanted to see it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I wanted to see it now more. And I mean, conferences like that, I feel like a lot of people are talking about, oh, there is a solution to do on-demand production, or, and not having stock while you're selling it. Or there is also a solution to do 3D vision envisioning, right, of a product and not really producing it too, and having a quick turnaround. Can you tell me a little bit about like how you feel the value of physical produced items, and why do you think it's not going to go away, you know, the inventory?
Well, I think that one of the goals that we've had and the mission of our company is to reduce waste, whether that's in decisions, in products, in the dollars that are invested in that decision making. And as an example related to it, it is the idea that 3D CADs really represents an opportunity for companies to stop making samples.
Right.
We've had one company really was creating 200 samples for every product, and they had thousands of products.
Is it a bag company?
It was a fashion company. And apparel.
Clothing, yeah.
And reality is, all of those products ended up going away because they were all samples, right? And they're costly, and they're timely, and they're iterative. When 3D CADs represent the great example of speed, and the accuracy level now is improving, that you can hardly see the difference between that and a physical sample. So the digitization of the product supply chain for all of retail is going to happen now. Will people wear digital clothes? Probably not, right? But in the end, not having to mass produce with a high error rate, you know, just to give you a statistic, many people say more than half the new products fail.
Wow.
And if it's anywhere near that, we think it's much higher than that,
based
upon the numbers that were available to us. So if we can help just reduce that by 20%, it's a huge impact.
It's a huge deal,
We're the second largest industry in mass waste and pollution, yet fifth in total revenue.
Wow. It's an interesting comparison. Yeah. Right. There is a lot of room for improvement. That's why we're all here, I guess.
Exactly.
Awesome. Okay, so we're going to take a break now. And then after the break, we're going to dive deep more into technology and maybe even artificial technology that goes into creating a product like First Insight and get to know Greg a little bit more personally as well.
Want to know where the most successful fashion and beauty brands go to learn from the top minds in retail? Well, guess what? It's Etail West. Since 1999, Etail West has been the destination for the nation's leading retailers to come together and share the latest strategies and best practices for engaging and retaining today's connected consumer. Join in to celebrate the 20th anniversary, February 19th, through 22nd at the luxurious JW Marriott in Palm Springs, California. And you'll experience 4 days of amazing insights from brands like Nordstrom, LVMH, Under Armour, Fabletics, Sephora, Poshmark, and more, from targeted roundtables and summits to interactive case study remixes. You'll find the tools you'll need to build a complete omni-channel shopping experience. And it wouldn't be Etail without an amazing party or two to decompress and network. Visit etailwest.com today and reserve your space. And guess what? Enter the code FIYB for 20% off your registration. How about that? Etail West, transforming retail together.
Welcome back. And now, Greg, I'd like to know more where your technology is using AI and where it's going. To talk about artificial intelligence a little bit.
Sure. So, you know, we have always had a foundation based upon data analytics.
Right.
Right. Since we founded the company 12 years ago. And what that analytics foundation started with was predictive analytics, which led quickly into machine learning and the capacity to use artificial intelligence. And, you know, I was privy to be exposed to neural networks back in 1999.
Wow.
And so, you know, it's certainly evolved over time, like everything with the computational power. But I think it's interesting of marrying the human interaction that we take by collecting data from consumers with artificial intelligence and machine learning. And there's a, you know, an area of study called human computational modeling.
Right.
How can a human with a computer model itself to be, improve and
synergy,
you know, compete? Yeah, exactly.
So that's what you're currently focusing
on? So our focus now is how can we leverage consumer authentic input and the modeling of that data and learn from it and allow the data to draw out insights.
That makes total sense. I love that. Okay, so let's talk about your clients a little bit. I'm curious, who can afford you?
When we started the company, you know, our strategy was to go with very large companies.
I see.
Because we felt that we would get nameplates that people would recognize, and then we could help facilitate through the technology a self-service platform. And originally we had to wrapper a lot of services around it because big companies like that, and so it was a little bit more costly, or a lot more costly.
Totally.
But as technology, as we were always a cloud-based SaaS platform, have taken that technology and enabled it down to an individual. So today, a single individual who's starting a company could log on to our platform, create an insight, and actually execute it in a cost-effective model. And the way we describe it is the cost is related to the error you're about to make. And can we help you with that decision?
Yeah.
Right.
Right. I totally agree with that. We forget about it sometimes.
Yeah. So can we help you amplify your successes and stay out of areas that are challenging for you? And the cost benefit of that is pretty simple. Now, to answer your question more directly, we have a very templatized platform now.
Right.
So we can do a per item test that is cost effective for anyone, frankly.
Right, I see. And this is an interesting kind of perspective to me. What is, to me, testing a product means I am, it to me, testing a product is like testing technology. It's like MVP. I'm creating a small batch or like a very easy to use product, and then I'm like developing a fuller, bigger run. How often these tests need to happen for the like fashion company to kind of keep evolving and keep going?
Yeah.
Do you have any like formula for that?
Well, we do in the sense that it appears as a product is, depending upon the product life cycle and the decision point. But even if it's a fast fashion item versus a long lead time item, there seems to be three decision points that people typically make in the industry. And so consequently, taking a snapshot at each one of those stages that are they're making significant decision investments around are a time for them to take that and run it on the platform.
Got it.
You know, so they want to understand how's it going to resonate, what's the price structure so I can negotiate, then how many units, right, related to that.
Sure.
And sure, again, you're going to get the pricing and validate whether that ranking is going to come. And then there's the market stage, right?
Right.
It's about to go to market. Who should I target? How's it go? And then the revalidation process. Did I make all the decisions? At each one of those stages, the data seems to be very valuable.
Right.
And it seems to be very embedded in their natural process anyway. And given the fact that we could do it in 24 or less hours, it's seamless.
It is efficient.
Yeah, efficient.
It's what the industry needs.
Yep.
Awesome. All right. We're going to take another break, and then after that, we're going to get to know Greg better.
Do you love to laugh? Do you love great interviews with a lot of heart? Do you like good stories? Do you like to hear about life? Well, good news, because if you listen to a show called Funny People Talking, all of that happens, right, Danielle?
All of it happens. Every single thing you said on that list and more.
Hey, well, Elsie, does any of it not happen?
It all happens.
Come on, Elsie. Okay. It really happens.
Okay, well, you should join us on Funny People Talking on Mouth Media Network. You can find us anywhere you can find a great podcast. And I know it's true because these people loved it. Only for a short time while they were listening to the show, then life sucked. Listen to Funny People Talking.
It's time for Questions Off the Grid with Fashion Is Your Business.
Greg, I'm sure you travel a lot as a founder of a company, as a CEO. What do you do first when you arrive to the city and you have like an evening there before a big conference or a big meeting? Do you explore? Do you go to a restaurant? Do you sit at home or a hotel room?
Yeah, so great question. I do travel a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, one thing from my experience is people that travel a lot, you're trying to get some level of repeatability, right? Expectations. So the first thing I
comfort.
Do is, I would like to, I arrive in my hotel and I like to just ensure that everything's set up.
Right.
Once I've done that, I feel like I've landed and I'm settled.
Arrived.
Then the next thing that I want to do is go out and explore. And typically, I'm hungry.
Yep.
So for me, you know, I use certain apps to help me identify how to explore that environment.
Right.
Right. Fortunately, they work in most areas of the country and the world. And so I do it that way through food, because I think cultures are explored through language,
right,
food, and fashion,
totally
interestingly
agree.
Enough, right?
Yes.
So I also like to shop, believe it or not.
Yeah, I believe you.
Yeah, so having been a merchant, you know, I'm probably a lot, I like to think I'm a lot of fun to shop with. Mm-hmm. So I like to do that. If I have time, I'll obviously explore an interesting restaurant, and then I like to shop.
just like go and experience the retail experience, right? Not necessarily buy something. Just like look at what all the stores have to offer in different stores, and you feel different.
Yeah.
Cool.
And it's so interesting because from my perspective, I like to look for difference.
Yes.
Not similarities.
I agree. I see what you mean.
And the,
curiosity.
Yeah. The challenge that I face nowadays is there's so many of the same. Food is different.
Yeah.
However, you know, I like to find retail differences.
Yeah.
So if anybody has suggestions out there, wide open for them.
Right.
That.
And to me, concept stores are always been like a source for differences. So it's always like a new product that I can find or something, you know, like smaller shops.
Exactly.
But I agree with you. I'm there with you on this traveling kind of perspective. So thanks for sharing.
My pleasure.
And yes, thank you so much, Greg, for being here for this interview. It was really insightful and we're glad to get to know you. Thank you, the audience, for listening and hope you enjoy the episode. Thank you. Goodbye.
This has been Fashion Is Your Business. To suggest guests or content for the show, or to become a sponsor, email us at podcast@mouthmedianetwork.com. Keep up with the show on social media at Fashion Biz Show. That's Fashion B-I-Z Show. Episodes available on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play, along with our website, fashionisyourbusiness.com. Produced by Mouth Media Network. No portion of the episode may be distributed or published without the express written permission of the producers. This is your announcer, Peter Coleman. Thanks for listening.
This is Mouth Media Network, covering the business of lifestyle.